And we just thank God also for God's provision. A number of us have prayed for quite a long time because we felt that we need to move. You know, the place God's given us for almost exactly 5 years, right? Almost exactly 5 years, five number of grace. We've been in meeting day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out for 5 years in small place, sometimes leaking on the roof. You know, in the middle of the night, you know, 12 o'clock, we're praying, and when it rains, you can feel raindrops. We're praying, and you can feel the raindrops, right, Paul? Yeah, you felt some of the raindrops there on Friday, time to time. Yeah, and we were praying, Lord, not too far from the main transport and all these things. We've been praying. We had a list. When you come in on the door, there are lists of prayer points. Lord, we want place that's bigger. Lord, we want place that's cozy. Lord, we want a place that's not too far from transport. In fact, my walk from Epping Station to this church was, what did I say, 12, 13 minutes in the night. My walk is like, I walk fast, but it's a good exercise. I just tried to walk. It's quite good. And this week we start off meeting there Wednesday, but we will also have some Bible study. I'll share a bit more in depth on the life of Elijah, life of John the Baptist, what it means to have end-time ministry paradigm, which can be quite different, but it's very challenging. I believe that the greatest power, how many believe that God's greatest and the best, He's reserved for the last generation? Amen? We haven't seen the best yet. Best is yet to come, but I believe in the Bible there are very clear principles of preparing ourselves, receive anointing, that God has for the last days. All right, so I'm going back to let's look at the vision statement. We're going through our vision statement of the church. Nathan, can you put up the slide? The first one? How do I do that? Oh yeah, there you go. Thank you. So vision. I was going to share it in the beginning within a month, which was quite unrealistic. So number nine, let's read our vision, GI vision statement. If you're a visitor, you're most welcome just to receive, you know, and just get excited about what God is doing, because it's not just what we want to achieve. This is very Bible-based, what God wants to do in the last day. So let's read it together, 1, 2, 3. We are an end-time church, house of prayer, and bride of Christ in preparation, in intimacy, character, and power, to stand with Israel and to bring in the harvest of the nations for Jesus' glorious return. Amen. So we're going through a statement, the second stanza, bride of Christ in preparation, in intimacy, character, and power. So we've been looking at those, and today we'll go through, hopefully today I can wrap this up, That part. And then next week we go on to our call to bring in, stand with Israel and bring in the last day harvest. All right, can we turn to Matthew chapter 25? Because we've been sharing about importance of the bride of Christ, the church that is being prepared for the last days, for the events, a unique dynamic. Events of the last day, end time, based in the scriptures. That is very important. We got to base everything in the scripture. And the way we believe, and I see the pattern of God preparing his people in the last days for the greatest outpouring of the Spirit, is that we get prepared. Our character must be prepared to receive and retain and to finish the work as the power of God descend upon us. But the way that our character gets prepared is not just doing some programs and the knowledge-based one only, that our heart must be changed, and our heart doesn't change until the goal of your life change. The goal and very purpose, target of your life, the measure, the way you measure success of your life must change. The way I look at myself, who I am, and the way I measure my success must change. And until that change, inner change, deep change takes place, we change very, very little bit, just a little bit. And when you couple that our goal for our life to be intimate with Christ, to be walking with Christ, to be pleasing Him, and that's how you measure your life, measure your success and progress in life. And when your heart is set to purposely pursue God with all your heart, and pursue intimacy with God, not as a means to an end, but as a goal, an end in itself, then our heart begins to change dramatically. And then I'm coupling that with serving, because serving is the only way to achieve true greatness in the sight of God. Amen? How many know God doesn't have problem with greatness? Disciples came and asked, how can we, you know, they want to be great, one at the right and the left. Jesus didn't have problem with disciples' desire to be truly great, because God created us in His image and God is great. And there is an innate call within us to be great, truly great. And the way the world does great is that get everybody else to serve them. And when you can get as many people as possible to serve you, you're greater than them. Jesus said, that's how the world is. It's not going to change. But the way I am working and producing great people are the opposite of the way that world does. If you want to be great, what did Jesus say? Serve. So when you serve God with the gifts that God's given you, talents He has assigned in your life, and not take it, you know, for granted, but be thankful and take it, grab it, take account of it, be diligent, be realistic about it, and then apply faith and serve, particularly in a local setting when you serve with the same people day in, day out. I guarantee you, within 3 years, the fault line under the character all erupt. Embarrassing, but necessary for our character development. So I believe those two things are important. You want to go far in God, you want to receive. You want to take God seriously. You want the maximum, God to do maximum out of your life. We must change our goal. And it doesn't happen overnight, but over and over again, Lord, the way I see myself, how I'm going to position myself, what I'm going to pursue with all my heart is intimacy with You. Obedience, 100% obedience, and intimate walk with You. That's what I want. When you make that decision, things begin to change. God begins to deal with your life and your heart in a different way than when we are looking for influence and promotion. And then when you serve with the gifts in a small and menial way, with the people that you interact who are less than perfect, day in and day out, see that a lot of things you will never know that are hidden, lurking in our hearts, hidden pride, comes out in offense so that we can deal with it. Amen? I don't hear a lot of amen. We are too familiar. If you've been Christian for a long time, for more than 10 years, you understand this process because you've been through already. Right? Have been through already, and then you go to different place, different faces, but the same situation faces you. Different face, different people, but really the same principles. There's only one way of getting over it and getting into it and getting, you know, through it, is that we change. Because when you love God and when you're called according to His purpose, when you love Him, God will cause all things work together for good. And what is the ultimate good? Ultimate good is not getting through life with least amount of problem. God's good is that you get conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So that takes precedence over my comfort. If God really loves us, which He does. If you're a child of God, His dealing with you is different than those of your members of your family and friends who don't belong to God. Is that true? Hallelujah. How many said in your heart, God, why are you so hard on me? Huh? It's because He loves you. When I was little, I said to God, you know, I got saved when I was a child. And I found out very soon that the moment I am trying to be a little bit naughty, all my friends get away with it. I get caught straight away and get punished for it. And I'm going, God, I looked up in the sky. You know, I was only primary school. Why are you so hard on me? Yeah, it's how much God loves me. How much God loves you. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God has a high calling for you. And for me, God wants you to hit higher. And hitting higher is not about getting your name out there. Hitting higher is all about getting your inside worked out, straightened out. Amen. Hallelujah. So that the second way, as we walk with God, that God wants to increase your character into the image of Christ in the way of faithfulness, in the little things, because God has given you and me, every single one of us, gifts. And they're grace gifts. God gives us. Some of it you're born with it. Some of it you acquire it as you walk with God, supernatural gifts. Some of it is wrapped up in your calling, your life calling, as pertains to your function. And the highest one, I will get to that later, it's got nothing to do with any of those. I'm getting you thinking. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's read Matthew chapter 25. All right, if you got your Bible, yeah, read your Bible. If you got your iPhone, click, click. No click sound, but there you go. We're going to read it together. And then I'm going to extract some of the simple principles, which is so helpful, even in your secular employment and job, because this is a universal principle. You want to go high? This is a principle. And this is not how most of the people out there think. This is so opposite. But this is how we get prepared by the grace of God. Amen. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. That's important. All right? 16, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me my 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. That's a good business. 100% increase. Verse 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, so at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a sobering thought. I don't know what our theology is. You know, often Jesus' teaching, when you study Jesus' teaching seriously, not with our theological glasses, but at face value, he upsets a lot of my theology. Your theology. Jesus upsets a lot of, that's why people couldn't wait to kill him. In fact, that's a trademark of a true prophet. They say something really wonderful at the same time, something so horrible that people gnash their teeth to kill him. And I want us to take Jesus' words very seriously, because Matthew 24, Jesus in a prophetic mode. Jesus started teaching on the end time, and Matthew 25, he teaches about how to be wise and faithful servant in the last days, in the end time. So he's speaking like a prophet. He's actually prophesying what will happen in the last days. So everyone had received grace, gifts, talents. Talents is not like, you know, how well you can sing kind of talents. I'll get to that. Different word, talent. You know, when I was reading, I thought it was my talent. I could run pretty fast. I was fastest in my school, so I thought that was talent. It could be one of them, but the concept is very different, okay? According to his own ability, the Lord had given them talent. According to your own ability, okay? This is according to what we can handle, what is best for you. God knows you. God knows me, who I am. So God gave the best. What really you can do best, he knows, so he gave it. And they are different, but they are right for each one of us. So they are all grace gifts given to us by God. And talents may be what you're born with, and it may include physical appearance. How many are happy with the way you look? I challenge you, tomorrow morning you get up and have a shower in front of the mirror. You are a beautiful creation of God. You are a beautiful handiwork of God. Why don't you say that? It's biblical. Okay, it's not like, you know, bad thing. Okay, so you look at it. You can look at your nose, you can your eyes, and tell it. You've been created by God. You are beautiful. Don't hate yourself. This is terrible modern thing, okay? Your height, your IQ, your EQ, your family background, your race, your country of birth, your natural talents, and all these things, God's given it. How many chose to be born in Australia or in Malaysia and so on? No. God chose it and gave as a gift, as your inheritance. And then there's a special ability endowed by the Holy Spirit and so on. Anyway, we'll get to that. The point is, whatever we have been given, we are answerable. That's very important. Okay, we are there. We are answerable. Our gifts and talents are, the Lord says, his Lord's money. It's something that's been loaned to you, loaned to me in this time and age. And it will be replaced, okay, when we get to eternity. So we've got to make the most of it. It says, to whom much is given, much is required. So it's very important that you know what you've been given and you accept it. How do we manage our time? That's another one, see? So this is God's credit to you in our lifetime, which will be reassessed or assessed at the end of our lives. Many Christians secretly begrudge what they have been given. A lot of Christians don't like the way they look, don't like their intellectual ability, don't like their background, their height. Right? Size of the nose or the eye, you know, whether you got a crease on the eye or not. In Korea, it used to be a big thing. I'm born with a crease. My brother wasn't. And then, and, you know, he was envying. Anyway. Anyway, whatever you are, right? You're a gift of God. Hallelujah. If you begrudge, if you're not happy with what you receive, If you're not thankful for who you are and the way God has made you, shaped you, how many know, you know, that all these different personality types? Some people don't like their personality type. I wish I am like this, like Donald Trump, alpha male type. And you're not. Well, that God knew you. And then one gift is just as valuable as another. It's very important. Everybody wants to be a leader and in a certain type. But it's very important that we need to be thankful for the way God made us and accept us in the grace of God. Love ourselves in the grace of God. Amen. People who don't love themselves find it extremely difficult to be generous to others or to forgive others, people who begrudge themselves. Anyway, that's another teaching. So unless we embrace what we are being given with gratitude, you can never be faithful in it. So, you know, at the end of today, this week, I want you to sit down and maybe go through what God's been given and begin to thank them. Make a list. If you're tall, praise God. If you're short, praise God. Praise God. The blood, your heart has to do less work to get the blood circulation, right? All the rest. Okay, number two, reward. This is very important. Reward is based on our faithfulness. Oh, yeah, okay, so I missed all that anyway. Doesn't matter. I'll give you the notes anyway, yeah. Let me say something. Serving didn't begin with us. The world does it that way. Serving actually begin in the Godhead. It's in the nature of God. So when you want to be like God, you want to be like the Holy Spirit, who is the servant in the Trinity for eternity. So when we say we want to be like Jesus, see, start serving in the small things, faithfully for a long time without complaining, with thankfulness. Because what you do, it's not how much you achieve. It's very little to do with what you achieve. Often when we serve, we feel we are not achieving a lot. How many know what I'm talking about? You serve and you do and you start with a great vision, grand vision. Within 6 months, the whole world will need my service kind of thing. But you feel like very little, very little. But don't be discouraged, because it does something in our character. It prepares us. It makes us more like God. And that likeness of God is what God is looking for in terms of pouring out his anointing and grace. Amen? So never look at the result. In fact, when you serve, the deepest one that you cannot not get anything out of. When you serve, number one is not how powerful. It's not about expressing your gift, even though it's very enjoyable to be who you are and express your gift. It's not the reason. If you put expressing your gift as a reason for your service, forget it. You will be offended, I guarantee you. It will not be worth it. What is a higher reason for serving? Conforming, sorry? To please God, that's right. And what does God get? How do we please God? God gets his son's likeness in us. Since when you serve, it's for you. Your character development. Amen? That's when you grow the most, when you serve. Especially when people are not clapping all around. That's when our character gets formed the most. In fact, when you are not feeling you're effective, see, your character really goes deep. So that's number one. Otherwise, you'll quit. Everybody will quit. Everybody wants to do the stage job. And nobody will end up looking like Jesus. Okay? Amen? All right. But it began with Jesus. That's what it is. Okay, now. Reward is based on faithfulness, not on our giftedness or achievement. This is very important. Because, one day, some years ago, I did church planting. It's number three, church planting. But I felt very ineffective. I felt like, Lord, I am locked in here, I'm dying, I'm, you know, 50 years later, I'll still be the same. And I visited this Chester Hill. There is a little detention center. How many know detention center? You've been there? Villa. And met this young man to share the good news and so on. And on the way, the Lord spoke. Because I felt so thoroughly ineffective. Almost on the verge of, on the verge of depression. How many years I've been serving. And the Lord spoke to me and saying, you know, the pay is the same. Pay is the same. Whether you serve one person in detention center or whether you're preaching to thousands or whether you everybody know or not know. See, you got to do what God called you to do, what the call of God is and the gift of God is. And you got to do it obedience of the word of God. When you serve God with your heart, if you serve one person, if you serve 1,000 person, at the end, the pay is the same. God will reward you according to your achievement? No. According to your size of your ministry? No. According to how many people thank you and say, you know, their life is changed? No. According to faithfulness. It's all about your heart. God sees in secret. In fact, that's very important. 5-talent guy, 2-talent guy. They both doubled, 100%. Equally faithful. One was more gifted than the other, but equally faithful. What did Jesus say? His words are exactly the same. I counted it, 28 words. Exactly the same. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's also important that as soon as he gave the gift, he went on a journey. What does that mean? In other words, he gave you gifts, and then he went out of your sight, out of your sin, out of your consciousness. He's not breathing down your neck and say, what are you doing with it? He's gone for a long time, so it's really up to you. In fact, true motive comes out when nobody watches you at your job, right? When your boss goes away for 2 weeks and not come back, do you still turn up on time and do the stuff or just go for a long lunch break? Because nobody watches you. This is what it is. The Lord gave it and went. So it's actually the wise who understands. Okay? True measure of faithfulness. Let me say this. True measure of faithfulness is in small things rather than big things. How many agree with this? How faithful are you now? If I'm doing, okay, tomorrow we've got a conference, the place will be packed up and, you know, all the important guests, you know, mayors coming, who wants to do this item? Everybody will take it seriously, you know, I can get people. But nothing special, just the round of the meal, normal thing, no special come, you know, it's a week in and week out. Small thing actually shows our faithfulness more than big thing. Isn't that true? If I go overseas and do special thing, I'll be all well prepared. I will have tons of sermons, but on a week by week, am I faithful? Am I spending on my knees praying? Or am I just regurgitating the old ones, which is easy to do? But am I taking each week, each day seriously and give God my best? Are you? Now, this one works in church as well as out there in work employment as well. Because it is about character. It's not about how well you do job. Okay? So, let's read it together. This is very important. You know, especially when our service is unnoticed and no one's watching, that's when our faithfulness forges our character the most. Amen. Let's read the bullet number one. In God's kingdom, there are no small things. For small things are as great as great things. This is, I think, is a one only audible voice of the Lord that Derek Prince heard when he was a young man. And God said, in the kingdom of God, there is no small things, for the small things are as great as the great things. How true. See, when you wait until somebody gives you great things, you will never get to do it. So a lot of people nowadays, like, you know, it's very easy to get into that. I've got a small ministry, you know, tea or shaking hands or whatever, stuff that no one notices. If you're not faithful in a small thing, how can God promote you to bigger things? And a lot of people who are, you know, begrudging God for a small thing is normally they're waiting for somebody to give them big thing. If you're waiting until somebody gives you big thing, you will never get to big thing. True? Be faithful where you are, what you've got. No matter how small, when you're faithful in the small things, God will find you. He knows where you live. Okay? Hallelujah? All right, let's read the second one. It's very important. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. A gift is what you can do in front of other people, but character is what you do when nobody is watching. Amen. When nobody is watching. Okay. 3. Higher the office you call, the greater the faithfulness we must attain in our character. Okay, so if God has called you, God had given you great gifts, you know that there is a great calling in God which is lying dormant, then greater the faithfulness you must attain in your character in small things. And the opposite of faithfulness is what? Being lazy. And God called that wicked at the end. So this is a prophecy. No, I mean, I actually can imagine a lot of people having the theology. Theology. I prayed the sinner's prayer 30 years ago and I couldn't care less about the things of God. I don't know how you interpret that. There is a, you know, Jesus speaks of exactly 7 times people who will be rejected. He says, you know, he talks about that phrase. Where is it? The weeping and gnashing of teeth is not there. You study I've given it to you in the last week, the notes, 7 places. You study that, you don't want to be there. There will be people who expect to be in, but actually find out they're not. Gnashing and weeping of teeth. So, the next one. We've already said that despising our gift is a very dangerous thing. If you feel that somebody else got a big gift, somebody else got a big gift to the public ministry, and I don't, so I'm not going to serve, well, that's a very dangerous place. Because you feel you've been cheated or you've been undergiven, you are begrudging God and you're not going to make good with what God had given. In fact, that is very much of an attitude. You may be given a lot, but you could feel where I am. I don't have what other people have. And when you have that attitude, you end up the same. Okay? Now, 1 talent, last week I just touched on it. 1 talent is 5,000 to 6,000 denarii in those days. And 1 denarii is 1 day's wage. A grown man work hard all day, you take home 1 denarii. 5,000 to 6,000 denarii converted to our day work, depending on how much holiday you want to take. It could be up to about 20 years of wage you will get. You got it in one hit. Is that small? It's not small. Everybody's been given a lot. That's the point. Everybody's been given a lot. But when you compare yourself with others, you can feel you've not been given as much and you've been given little. This is very important, very foolish thing to compare ourselves with others. But take account of what God's given us. Now, the second one is the importance of the attitude of faith and fear. See, when you do the trading, when you do something with what you've been given, there is always an element of risk involved, isn't it? When you serve, there's a risk. When you sing, there's always risk of hitting the wrong note, right? I did actually already today. crack. And I played guitar today, and I was going wrong notes. Ooh, thank God for Fred, who covered everything well. So nobody else noticed all the wrong notes and so on. But look, I want to serve God. I want to worship God. So I fill in. I'll do my best. I give my best. I don't hold back. I give my best. I sing. I crack. My voice crack at the wrong time. But I give. I give my best. Because that's my worship towards God. Amen? So it is. Don't have to be good at it, but there is a fear involved. In fact, when you serve, it may not work out well sometimes. But that's the is an attitude of fear. Fear actually stops you. Okay, now, why did this guy said, why did he not do what needs to be done? I don't know. It could be number one. It could be lazy. Convenience-seeking lifestyle. Convenience is my God. So anything inconvenient I won't do, you'll never do. Anything to serve. If convenient is number one, and that can't be moved. Number two, it could be fear-dominated lifestyle. You're so afraid of failing that you'd rather not do anything. Okay? Number three, it could be you never seriously considered God's gift and His call. You never ask God, what is your purpose? What does God want to get out of my life? Not what I want, but what God wants. Seriously consider it and ask the question to the Lord. It could be carelessness. You know, I couldn't care less attitude. But whatever those attitude behind it is one thing. What is it? Lack of real intimate knowledge of God. There is no relationship with God because this guy said, Lord, let's read the blue. I knew you to be a hard man. Reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. That's his picture of God. If we have relationship with God, can anybody say that of God? God is not like that at all. But this guy, the view of God is, I know you are a hard man. You've given me so little, but you want to get out so much. You're not getting that much. You're not getting nothing. Here is what you've given me. Take it back. You throw it back at God. And it tells me he had no relationship with God whatsoever. But it's interesting that he is so sure he knows God. He says, I knew you to be a hard man. Where did he get that understanding of God? Which Bible college did he go? Certainly not the one I'm teaching, right? Certainly not this church. Certainly. As the view of God is completely wrong. But he's so sure. I know you are like that. Mere religion is concerned only with what not doing anything wrong. Yeah? I don't know what kind of background you have, like, you know, some of the old, like not here, not anywhere nearby, not the ones, but, you know, the Christianity, you know, is a bunch of do-nots, code of do not drink, do not dance, do not go to the beach, do not enjoy yourself too much in case it's sin, do not, do not, do not, and then you can't do anything, you just breathe. Hopefully I don't sin. I just get through the day without sinning. Do nots. That's a religion. It's not the kingdom culture. Kingdom culture is intelligent and proactive life of faith. expression, which is an expression of our confidence in the goodness and the faithfulness of God. When you are joyfully, proactively, intelligently serving God in your life with your gifts, it is an expression of your confidence in the goodness and faithfulness of God, as well as it is a sign of cheerful spirit, sign of thankful heart. Amen. And how many know, even in the secular world, people who are thankful, people who are cheerful, intelligent, proactive, they're the ones getting all the promotion. Is that true? Because, you know, I wanted this promotion. Somebody else got it, and then you were just so hurt, you know, you got, never come. But when you're cheerful, you're thankful for what you've got, and you're proactive, even the secular world loves you and promotes you. I mean, you know, it's a purely grace of God. Me, I don't know. I never saw myself as someone really ambitious, but I've been proactive. Even when I'm in the chemistry field, I can see the gap, things that are not done, things that can be improved. I'll jump in. I'll do my job and just try to improve things. And so, see, that's a sign of your cheerful spirit. Cheerful spirit, thankful spirit. Are you thankful for the life God's given you? Are you thankful for the, you know, good appetite that you have when you eat food? I am. I love food. I enjoy it two, three times a day. Every time I'm happy when we eat. Every single time I'm happy to eat. And I can eat and I can get rid of it and eat more. I'm happy. I'm thankful for the clothes. My brother gave this to me a few months ago, and I'm using it. I'm thankful. Why did he give this to me? I'm happy. I give something back. You know, I've still got some hair left. I'm thankful for the hair left. In the beginning, I was very sad. Oh, Lord, I can see the patch. I can see my skin. I'm thankful for the rest. I'm thankful for the rest. I bless my hair, and so on. When you're thankful for whatever you've got, and cheerful, proactive. You don't want to work with someone who just, okay, what do you want me to do? Okay, you just do that. No more. That's not the kingdom. Kingdom is, you can see the gap. You see it, you go and fill it. Amen? And the creativity comes in there as well. And the spirit of wisdom and revelation. If you have the right spirit, I tell you, those who are working in the secular places, because I'm telling you from my experience, if you have a cheerful spirit and you pray for your workplace, God will give you revelations. You come across cases that are too difficult to solve, He will give you spirit of wisdom and revelation to solve it. I was having shower, and you know, the company direct, you know, they're trying to get this multivitamin, you know, processed, and it's very difficult to process multivitamin because they interfere with one another. There is no method of doing it. And I was having shower. I love experimenting. Having a shower, and the bang, half a second, God drops down this picture. Oh, I haven't tried that before. See, and then He will give you wisdom. People will come and talk to you. Okay? Amen. So key is simple, joyful, thankful, be faithful. And if you are that person, the right promotion comes. Amen. With testing, okay? Somebody might hate you, but still, God will see to it that you get blessed. All right, number four. We receive our ultimate reward in eternity, and it is expressed in terms of God's pleasure. No matter what you get back in this life, how much promotion God gives you, how much blessing you feel, how big your ministry or sharing or your influence, how much you achieve or not, it is a small thing compared to what you will really get at the end. Not in this life, but when Jesus comes back. True? So don't get be happy when you receive promotion. Be joyful, but only for a short time. Why? Because that's not where you want to park your heart. It's a small that leads to the next. More faithfulness in this life. Don't settle anywhere in this life as you've arrived. Because when you feel you arrived, the next thing is fall. And in fact, whatever you do, it's a small thing. When you look at the parallel passage in Luke, Jesus says, you know, he gives charge of 5 cities to someone who is faithful. Do you think it's a parable? I think it's real. I don't mind receiving Sydney. See, my goal of serving is not so that it's all in here. You know, whether you achieve or not, this is nothing. It's a small thing. We need to have the right perspective. Whatever you do, whatever you achieve, never envy anyone. You don't know what they're suffering. And never envy anyone. You don't know how much is a bubble. When Jesus stands and his laser beam pokes all the bubble, you get the real thing. And the final picture may be very different. Amen? And what my aim is actually getting the big chunk, you know, near the throne. That's my goal. I want to sit next to Jesus, you know, the next life, not here, like, you know, Jesus. See, I want to be faithful so I can take care of Sydney and then other cities that I won't tell you yet. I haven't all decided yet. But look, it's real. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years for real, and then forever after that. Why do you think that universe expands at the speed of light? Because his rule, his kingdom, his expansion will be limitless. And then he wants us to feel that rule and reigning forever and ever for Christ, with Christ, and sharing his glory. Because when Adam was created, he was a living soul merely. But with the resurrection body, we're going to be the life-giving spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. 70-year or 80-year is an internship, that's all. Real ministry starts in the next. But the real next life ministry is all determined for how we are faithful here in this life. Amen. And, you know, we talk about this, you know, a lot, you know. We often say it, even, you know, funerals and so on. Oh, good and faithful servant. Thou, good and faithful servant. Thou. We say that it's good to honor people, which we do, we should. But how many know that not everybody will actually hear Jesus saying, well done, good and faithful servant? There will be some who will be said, for you, weeping and gnashing. Or you've done okay, you've just scraped in, praise God, I'm glad you're here. Or you just made it, but you will be with me with paradise, not the throne, because there's a difference. When you look at Revelation 4, it's a throne of God. Father God is sitting there, and in Revelation 5, you find Jesus appearing out of nowhere, out of the heart of God. But when you look at Revelation 20, 21, you see actually thrones are set. It looks like the throne of God has just opened up with many thrones all connected to it. And there are numerous people sitting in that throne with Jesus. The promise of Jesus, if you're faithful, I'll give you my throne for you to sit on, is real. It's not just the nice words, it's real. Some will be sitting there. And then some will be in paradise with some trees and birds and kind of, you know, far from the Lord, but very nice. I don't know about you. I want to go as close as possible. Yeah? Hallelujah. Amen. Are we in it together? All right, the next one. Now, just if you scrape into heaven, praise God, it beats going to hell, right? Praise God for all grace. We'll be happy forever and ever. But hey, we don't have to stop there. So why aim so low? Aim at more. Run for it. It's only one life. One life. It's like an arrow that's let loose. It's going to hit the target or not. But thank God we can do course correct. Even the last, you know, Jesus said, the last will be first and first will be last. Many will run with zeal in the beginning of their Christian life, but will not finish it with the same zeal. Many will feel, I'm starting out so late, but they will be focused and they'll finish the course. It doesn't matter how late, many will take over. That's the rule, that's a prophecy. It's happening now. So let's be the second people, amen, who begin to overtake. Hallelujah. All right, gifts. When you look at, I'm going to give you all those who belong to small group as well, how to do some gift testing. So if you have half an hour or 1 hour, you can do it as a group or do it at home, depending on the leader's instruction, and then share it. You know, it's a good indicator. And there's a Romans chapter 12 verse, because of the time, I'm not going to read it. You can read it at home. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 to 8 talks about the gift of God. So what does your one talent look like? All the one talent people say, that's me. That's me. That's you. Everybody has the gifts. There are seven gifts that are there in Romans chapter 12. And it's prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and mercy. Some people are naturally merciful, naturally, which I can learn more, naturally merciful, right? Some people are just naturally leading. Okay, let's do it this way, it's better, and it's 10 times better. Some people give, man, they have no problem, like, you know, give. Other people are very teachy, you know, one of those teachy people, whatever, you know, they study, and then some people are very prophetic. You can see into the things and you confront the trouble, like prophets. So they are all wired differently. This is the way that you are wired naturally. Some people are very merciful, but they never like any confrontation. They can see things that are wrong, but you know, just love covers the multitude of sin. Run away. The prophetic people will say, hey, I love you. That's why I'm telling you, you need to change. So both of these gifts are different, but they can get into conflict. But that's how you're wired. Naturally, and that's all precious, all different. But let me tell you, in my life and ministry, I've never met one person who was only got one of the seven. I've never met anybody who didn't get any of these. I've never met anyone who only has one out of seven. Most people have three and four, and then the rest are developing. But this is your gift. So on top of that, that's not the end, okay? You got to be faithful there. Next one you call gifts of the Holy Spirit. We all know that. And then the groups of three, this is on top of your natural gift, this supernatural gift of the Spirit of God can be endowed upon you. And then your gift mix, your personality, how you serve and minister is completely different from one another. You may have the same gift as me, but the way these different gifts come on top and expresses itself is very different. So you are unique, absolutely unique. There's not two that are alike. You may have the same gift as teaching as me, but also you mix those and personality, you're completely different the way you see things and explain things. Okay. So Eddie is an evangelist. But the way he's going to evangelize may be very different. And the gifts that you're going to be using will be very different. Say, are you whole? Say, it's a word of knowledge when you're moving out. Somebody said, your name is whole. Repent. No, are you whole? How can I pray for you? See, there's a mercy, gift of mercy. Exhortation, teaching, mixing with the gifts of the Spirit, word of knowledge, healing, and all these things comes out completely different, and then you can touch people that nobody else can. Amen? So word of knowledge, word of wisdom, I'm not going to go into it. I can't today. Gift of faith, healing, miracle, simply in Greek, it's power. Casting out demons is one of them. Prophecy, kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Okay, the next one. And then on top, it's called the gift of Christ. This is, not everybody is called to it. This one, everybody's given something. And then the rest you can expand as your character fills up, develop. These nine gifts of the Spirit, all of them are available to you for seeking by faith. All of them. And there is one of them that is a gateway for all nine. Which one? Gift of tongue. Okay, vocal gifts opens door for all the rest of the gifts. But the gift of Christ is like, you know, not everybody is called to be a pastor. Not everybody is called to be a teacher. Because if you're not called and you're trying to do it, man, there will be constipation for you and especially for the congregation. Constipation. Even though you can be faithful, we're not going to be blessed by your ministry. Okay? So you must be called. Okay, this is to do with calling and the gifts, which are irrevocable. But many, how many know, don't actually arrive there. I colored it red. Do you know why I colored it red? Anybody guess? Somebody said, yeah, a lot of blood. That's right. You got to bleed a lot along the way. You have to bleed a lot because you actually become a gift, however imperfect, to the body of Christ because you get shaped there and you get grace there and you become one of those, which I believe are not exhaustive list. But there's a lot of bleeding involved. So if you're called to one of them, get ready. Buckle your seat, ladies and gentlemen. God will deal with you. But if you don't really yield to the dealing, it's not about promotion. If you yield to the dealing, God will make a way. Body will recognize it. God will call you. If you don't get that right, which is the foundation, you never get there. Many never get there. And then if you mix these three columns, see, the possibilities are endless. You are completely unique. And that one God's given you at birth. Everybody has it, whether you're Christian or non-Christian. Only Christians who are in the Spirit begins to move in supernatural nature of all the gifts. And with those two, some of them will move into that gift of Christ. And that's not the end. Can you see? That's not the best. How many know the gift of Christ is more of a function? In this age, only. It's not the highest. It really isn't. What is the highest? Highest is available for everybody. I believe that's the seven spirits of God, the fullness of God that dwells in you. Isaiah 11. Gift of knowledge, counsel, wisdom, understanding, might, and fear of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord is the Lord's Spirit that speaks in first person. And the wisdom and understanding, they go together. If you have wisdom and you got to have understanding, you get comprehension and you get insight. You get counsel and you get might. You have a power, but if you don't have the counsel, then you can't get it, you know, properly implemented. So you get that. If you have knowledge of God, desperately need the fear of the Lord. Why? Knowledge does what? Fear of the Lord. So we need, that's the best. That's why I colored it with a royal color. And it's for everybody. How does that work? How do you move into all this? Principle is, starting with the F word, faithfulness. Every column, principle is the same. If you're faithful in there, God's going to give you that. If you're faithful there, whatever you are, God will give you there. Seven spirits of God is the fullness of the expression of the Holy Spirit working through you. And it goes beyond. There's no limit. So I won't go back to the last week's teaching on the seven spirits of God. But hallelujah. So you want to be great? How do we get there? Faithful. Serve. Okay, I think that's it. All right. So this week, I advise is, I'm going to upload it as well. In fact, at the back of my notes, there will be some questions, I think 35 questions that you can answer, and they will actually help you identify some of the gift. So I encourage you to do gift testing and then put on the apron of servanthood in the spirit of humility. Do a little bit of stock taking. Do I have my health intact? What can I, in what way can I serve God? In a small way. Don't have to be seen, you know, wherever, whatever. Who can I serve? In the family. And so on. And then yield to God. May the Lord empower you in the name of Jesus. It's not about what we've got, how much I've got. It's about yielding to God and allow God to use us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't we stand? Why don't we stand? Mia, do you have any song? Frederick, we just get... Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Even now, I feel the Spirit of God is moving. Even now, I believe I'm hearing the Lord just reminding you of the gifts that you've got that you didn't really notice or take heed. God's given you gift. You are special. You are unique. There is no one like you. And there is no one who can develop into the fullness of what you're called to. No one. And if you don't do it, it will not be done. It will be left not done. It's faithfulness. God is, He's full of joy. He's appreciative for the little ways in which you've served the Lord. But this week, I believe, I'm going to pray, I'm going to release insight and revelation into the gifts that God's given you and the callings that's inside of you. I'm going to call it forth in Jesus' name. Call it out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't we pray for a little while? Just open our hands and say, your lifetime, who knows how long you have? You know, Kinley has gone home to be with the Lord. She's done what she's ran her race. She's gone, and then others. Some of us will come, you know, it's not first come and first served. You know, you don't know the order in which we will be called home, but hey, let's be running when God calls us home. Let's not be mourning. Let's be running. Let's not be passive. Hallelujah. Let's take our life. Thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for the life that you've given us in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for the multiple gifts that you've given us that are grace in operation in our lives, both natural and supernatural gifts in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you will cause, oh God, deep gratitude to arise amongst heart of your people in the name of Jesus, oh God. Lord Jesus, that every person will be grateful. Lord God, grateful, gratitude. Gratitude, oh God. I pray that you will put ideas, revelations, oh God, words, oh God, in which we can serve you and extend your kingdom. Encourage somebody, touch somebody, pray for somebody, say something to someone. Oh God, we pray that you will stir the gifts of God in the body of people that you have, Lord, deposited in this church, in the name of Jesus, in this church and family, in workplace, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you pour out your spirit, you encourage everyone who has not been running, in the name of Jesus, they will begin to stand up and run and count what you've been given in the name of Jesus. This week, count what you've been given. Your finance is a gift of God in the name of Jesus. Your health, your gifts, all of that, use it for the glory of God. Use it for the glory of God. That God will promote you in every way. Expand your heart. Form Christ-like character in you so that God can use you. God can lift you like He lifted Joseph of old and make you great, make your name great. And because of that, the name of Christ will be lifted high in the name of Jesus. People who will not come to know Jesus will come to know Jesus because of you. In the name of Jesus, arise and shine. In the name of Jesus, arise and shine. For your light has come. I pray in the name of Jesus, there will be deep rejoicing on the inside. Inside, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. Let joy be released. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to also ask Father God, Lord, anoint every gift. Hallelujah. Right now, you just name whatever God is highlighting, Holy Spirit is highlighting, certain aspect of the gifts that God wants to highlight and uncover, anoint. Why don't you just say it out loud? Say it, you know, under your breath. Say it before God, Lord, this gift, this one, that one. I'm going to pray, ask the Holy Spirit to come. Hallelujah. Shakaraba shakalaba. Shirindirebaka shikarabaka. Sorabaka labara. Now, having said it, you also, gifts that God's already given you that you may not be using, you bring it before the Lord as well. It may not be something that you are appreciative of, that you don't value it very much, but it is your gift. Bring it before the Lord. Hallelujah. And say, Lord, I will not despise my gift in the name of Jesus. I will not despise the way you've gifted me in the name of Jesus. I embrace it and use it for your glory. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let your Holy Spirit come down. Open the doors of heaven, Father. Lord, let your holy, mighty, rushing, mighty wind, anointing, and the fire come and baptize your people, O God, with fresh fire, fresh zeal, O God, to serve you with empowerment from above in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I love you, Lord. I love you. We're going to sing it a couple of times. I'm going to sing it a couple of times. And if you want prayer, laying on of hands, how many feel this air has changed? There's a presence of God is here. God wants to empower and release gifts. Hallelujah. Anoint the gifts that you already have in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to sing it a couple of times. I'm going to lay hands on you and pray for you if you want prayer. If not, it's okay. We're going to take about 5 minutes. And after that, we're going to have morning tea. But this moment, if you can just focus, you know, if you begin to just move and do different things, you can just actually, you know, Holy Spirit will just lift. So we don't want that. So even if you are coming out, just give us a few minutes, all right? We're going to pray. Hallelujah.
I love you, Lord.
Again, if you want prayer, you come out now. Okay. welcome in this place. You know that?
Holy Spirit, thou
art
welcome.
Raise the key. Raise the key. Is it okay?
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Divine wisdom.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome.
Strengthening your inner being. You've been through that process. God is strengthening you.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome.
Lord, let your fire fall.